But we're going to leave the preseason and Lamar Jackson in the rear view for now and move on to a little bit of foresight into the NFL landscape. And last week, we talked a little bit. Noah and I went through most of the... We went to like three or four divisions in depth of how we think they're going to play out. And, you know, that kind of was a little preview for this next practice. And that is, I'm going to go over the three... six in total, but three win totals that I am excited about. Six in total. I'm going to discuss the three teams that I think are going to go above their over win total according to the Bovada Sportsbook. And then three teams that I think they're going to go under their win total. I'm going to discuss them, try to get them like 7 to 10 minute discussions per team. And this is no order of which one I think is the safest bet, nothing like that. This is just the teams that I think, looking at their, I know you don't look at record last year, but I use that as a good preview to like, you know, hey, this team did this with this group of, with this quarterback, throw in this quarterback, and I think they should reach that total. So we'll start with the unders. And one that jumped off the page to me, I was shocked, completely confused as why they have this win total, and that is the Buffalo Bills at 6 games. I'll repeat that. The Buffalo Bills at 6 games. And in hindsight, you look last year, they went 9-7, made the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor. And you fast forward to the present day, and they have Josh Allen was their first-round pick, traded up to get him. They have Nathan Peterman, the disaster. And the quarterback that's in line to start week one when the Buffalo Bills take the field against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore is none other than A.J. McCarron. And no offense to A.J. McCarron, but he's not the pick-you-apart quarterback. He's getting all the first-team reps. He's probably going to start week one of preseason. But this is just not something, especially when the roster, I guess some parts are healthy, but there's quite, but why is this team going to win six games? You know, I feel like this is a freebie. I could be extremely wrong. I could be wrong, as I could be with all these, but looking at him through the scope of why they're like this and looking through their schedule, and I'm going to run through their schedule, and I'm going to run through most of these team schedules, and that's a big part of what they do because you have to project to the future of how they're going to look, and their schedule is probably the best way to do it. But outside of that, it's quarterback play. Is A.J. McCarron a six to seven game winning starting quarterback in the NFL, especially with the weapons that he has and Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, an aging Shady McCoy who is going through some off-the-field issues, an O-line that I think has gotten worse, in a defense that is talented, that's well-coached in Sean McDermott, but 6 games? I mean, that's a tall order to ask with Tyrod Taylor at the helm, let alone A.J. McCarron and Josh Allen. So, I mean, let's look at their schedule first. At Baltimore, that's a loss. Host the Chargers. Maybe they catch the Chargers sleeping on a cross-country flight, but it's not winter time, so they're not going to be affected by that, and the Chargers have one of the most talented rosters in football. Then they travel to Minnesota and Green Bay in consecutive weeks. I don't think they're getting that. So that's 0-4 right out the gate. So that means they have to go 500, in my opinion. After that week, they have to go 500 and beat the Titans at home, travel to the Texans and the Colts, host the Patriots, host the Bears, and then go to the Jets. So out of their first 10 games, no bye week yet, their first 10 games, I see I'll give them three winnable games. Three. Let's say they win those. They're 3-7. After the bye week, they face the Jaguars. You know, the Jaguars lost to the Jets last year, but I think this Jaguars team is going to take a step forward. So let's go through, that's 3-8. At Miami, I think Miami is going to be better than people think. I haven't really examined their. I'll look at it real quick. Their win total, their perceived win total for the year for the Miami Dolphins is 6.5. I think they could do better than that because for some reason they have like a solid, for some reason they just play well. And Tannehill's back. They have Amendola in the slot, Alvarez. That's not a 20. So that's 3-9. So that means they have to win three of these last four, which is home to the Jets, winnable game. Eh, we'll give them that 4-9. Lions, I'm extremely high on the Lions. I think the Lions are going to be fighting for playoff positioning. I don't think they lose that game. 4-10. At New England, come on now. 4-11. And then the Dolphins. So they can sweep the Jets, perceivably sweep the Dolphins, and they have to win. So that's four wins. But they have to beat. And then the Bears, five wins. So their winnable games, quote unquote, after that would be the Titans and the Lions and the Jaguars. I don't think that's going to get it done. So this is the rare occasion that Vegas is, in my opinion, I'm not a gambling man. Maybe I'll start this year. This is a rare occasion that Vegas is saying, go take the under, please. Please. The Bills are not a 6-win team. They're probably not a 5-win team. With Tyrod Taylor, I know Bills fans hated how he held onto the ball, but Tyrod Taylor is a serviceable quarterback. He didn't turn the ball over and put his defense in position to win. He opened up the offense for LeSean McCoy. He was throwing to an injured Kelvin Benjamin, who is probably going to be healthy this year. But if you think A.J. McCarron is a serviceable upgrade above Tyrod Taylor, then I don't know what to tell you. I'll just go through their depth chart real quick. I'll go through the Buffalo Bills depth chart, and I'll see if anything stands out to me. Zay Jones, Kelvin Benjamin, Andre Holmes, Charles Clay, Nick O'Leary. Shout out Nick O'Leary. I was his equipment manager when he won the Mackey Award winner as the nation's top tight end. Okay, so that's phenomenal pass catchers. And then you have LeSean McCoy, Chris Ivory, and Taywan Jones in the backfield. Your O-line leaves a lot to be desired. The defense is always strong. Shaq Lawson, Kyle Williams, Star Latuli, hopefully I got the name right, Jerry Hughes. That's a pretty solid front four. Matt Milano, rookie Tremaine Edwards is a phenomenal athlete out of Vatek. He's going to be thrown right in the middle. Lorenzo Alexander, they signed. Vontae Davis, Mike, they actually have a solid back end too. Their defense is going to be fine. They're going to keep in some games. But I think their offense will be the worst in the NFL, bar none. And I don't see how this defense is going to make up enough room for them to get six wins, especially when the teams that they're going up against, they play a lot of explosive offenses. And Brian Daboll, their offense coordinator, was one at Bama and a couple like that. He doesn't run the most exciting offenses. So I feel like this is going to be a situation where McCarron starts out slow, and then they're going to give the keys to Josh Allen, and then they're going to tank the season, punt it away, and just try to get a high draft pick while getting Josh Allen plenty of reps. So I don't see them getting that 6-win threshold. So we'll move on to team number 2, and that is the Oakland Raiders. And this team is coached by John Gruden. Signed a 10-year, 75, I think it was 10-year, $100 million deal. Good for him. Good for Johnny G. Their win total for the season, according to Bovada Sportsbook, is 8. And when the best player on the team, especially your best player on the defense, especially given your defense is terrible and your defense is built around this one player in Khalil Mack, I don't see this being a great year for the Raiders, I should say, at all. He's not even listed on their depth chart. I'm looking at ESPN's depth chart right now, and Khalil Mack is not even listed, which is a scary sight because he has not had any contact with Gruden since Gruden got hired, and they haven't had any contact with Gruden. There's been no communication between Gruden, between Mack's camp and Gruden, and not in the Gruden, since the Raiders, since February. And we're in August. That's 6 months. So that's a terrible situation. I don't think their defense is under Paul Guttner, the former D coordinator of the Bengals, is going to be a little more fast. It's going to be exciting like that, but they're counting on Garion Coley, rookie, second-year player at Ohio State, to take a massive step forward. Their linebacking core leaves a lot to be desired. Their D-line, outside of Khalil Mack, who plays linebacker and knows all that, they're counting on Arden Key to take a massive step forward. Mario Edwards Jr. to take all these players, they're counting on to take massive leaps, and that's just not really – there's just nothing that points that they're going to make that take that step forward. Offensively, I think they're going to be better than people think. I'm not high on Derek Carr. He has a low yards per attempt. He seems very uncomfortable in the pocket last year. I think their offensive line was one of their strengths 2 years ago, and then it took a step backwards last year. And I think it could find a median between those two, between being the dominant group and the subpar group. I think they'll be like a solid group, but I mean, their running backs, I mean, Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin, yeah, they're good, they're solid, they're old vets, but this whole offense is veteran-based, I feel like. Martavis Bryant, they wasted a third-round pick on him to acquire him. He's not seen the practice field. So then you're counting on Amari Cooper, who has some of the worst hands we've seen since he's come into the year in terms of drops, and Jordy Nelson, who I think is going to be good. I think Jordy, he's a threat in the red zone. I think he's going to be great. Not about great, but he's going to be what we expect Jordy Nelson to be. So I think the receivers corps is top heavy, but it's just like a massive unknown with John Gruden and how well his team's going to play. And then you take a look at their schedule, and it's tough to find 8 wins on this schedule. They play the Rams at home on Monday night. Rams are expected to be one of the top teams in NFL. So then maybe that's a win. For this sake, we'll give it to them a win. 1-0. 1-0. Then they go to Denver, who I think is going to be really good. I think Denver takes care of them in Mile High. 1-1. Miami Dolphins cross-country trip. Dolphins win. Cleveland 2-2. I think they take care of that business. Go to the Chargers 2-3. Seattle host. I think Seattle, another team that I think, if people are saying they're going to be bad, I think they're going to beat them. So we'll even give them 3-3 heading into the bye week. Some of those things. And then they had to get 5 wins between the Colts at the 49ers on a very short week. Host the Chargers, at the Cardinals, at the Ravens, Chiefs, Steelers, at the Bengals, Broncos, Chiefs again. There could be 8 wins out there. If this was a Jack Del Rio coach team, which is saying something, but this is a big unknown, and given that they were playing in one of the toughest divisions in football, which means 6 very losable games, which means if you take out, so they go 3-3, they split that, they have to go 5-5 the rest of the way. And I just don't see them beating their out-of-conference teams like the Rams, the Dolphins, the Browns, the Seahawks, the Colts, the Niners, the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bengals. Those are just tough games against a lot of tough teams. So you add all that up to the fact with I'm not very high on their coaching staff. I'm not high on their defensive talent. I'll look up just for the heck of it if anything's going on with Khalil Mack. And there's talks of him being traded. You know, there's a bunch of all these local fan sites are saying, what could the Jets offer or what could the 49ers offer for trading for Khalil Mack? And it's just like you have one of the two best defenders in football. And you're not giving him anything he wants. It's like Aaron Donald. It's like we underestimate the value of, I guess it's just like this league becoming completely offensive. And it's just like, you can't teach defensive pressure like this. You can't teach, there's a premium you have to pay, and you should pay whatever it is to bring in defensive talent that gets to the quarterback. Khalil Mack changes your whole entire defense. Every aspect of it. And so why are the Raiders not bending over backwards to give him whatever he wants? Because if he's not with him, their defense is subpar. That's with him. You take him out of the equation, and you're relying on people who are unproven at every level of your defense to perform. And it makes no, it's I don't want to bash John Gruden because he's such a lovable figure in Tampa Bay for what he's done to the community in terms of bringing the Bucks to Super Bowl. I would play just pick up soccer with his son Deuce. I mean, my mom teaches at the school like where his kids went. It's just like a weird thing to see him now. He's been out of the league for so long that he's given the full keys to the car. We've seen this fail in the NBA countless times. Unless you're Bill Belichick, it's too much to balance running both operations of running the football roster in terms of evaluating talent and bringing people in and then coaching. Is he in over his head? Who knows? This is just a really weird experience, and I'm not going to put my money on that when the Raiders went... Let me see what they went last year. They went 6-10 last year with Khalil Mack. So why do I think and Derek Carr was worse? So I guess Derek Carr, if we're counting on him to take another step forward, but what makes him? Why do I think that's going to happen under John Gruden's offense? And so I mean, before watching any preseason, I just don't see how the Raiders are going to make this. They're going to get to their 8-win threshold that Bavada has set them at. So we'll leave Oakland at that. And the final under win total is a team that Noah feels very strongly about. And that is Chicago Bears. He actually picked them to finish second, I think, in the NFC North division, which is saying something. Because I think they're by far the worst team in that division. Yes, their talent across the board. Their coaching staff. Yes, they're tipped to take a Rams Sean McVay jump with a completely new system, a completely new coaching staff in terms of offense, in terms of Trubisky taking a step forward, a young quarterback taking the next step. They brought in plenty of receiver talent. They already have a pretty decent offensive line. But I just don't... I think they're a year away. And even if I do think they're a year away, that defense is... I mean... I just don't... Do you really see them being... Going... Improving on their 5-11... Yes, their 5-11 record last year was pretty good considering their terrible coaching. But... I just don't think they're better than any of the teams in their division. And that's six tough games. And they have to face the NFC West. And they have to face the NFC South. They have to face, no, not NFC South, NFC West. And they have to face the, what's the other division? The AFC East. So I guess that's where their wins could come from. But 6.5. I'm going to run through their schedule and then I'm going to break down their roster. So at Packers opening night, I don't think that's a win. Seattle Monday night. That's tough. I don't think so. Like I've said all along this, I think the Seahawks are going to be good. So we'll give them that just for whatever. We'll make them one-on-one. At Arizona on a short week? No. We'll get to Arizona in a couple minutes. 2-1-2. Then the Bucks with Jameis back. I mean, I think I picked them to lose this game earlier on in the season. But we'll see how the Bucks look. So we'll say they're 2-2 heading in the bye week, which means they only have to win 4 games. At Miami after the bye week, I think that's a loss. Patriots at home, that's a loss. Jets at home, we'll give them a win. That's 3. At Buffalo, that's a very toss-up game. Could go either way. We'll give them a 3 or 4 wins, whatever. And they've only faced one division opponent. Lions, Vikings at Lions. I think those are all losses. Every single one of them. Not even second guessing myself. I think the Lions are that for real. Especially they had to face two. The second one is at Detroit on a short week after playing Minnesota, which is going to be a physical game. Then they long week travel to the Giants. Depending on how the Giants look, could be a win. Then they end with Rams, Packers, 49ers, Vikings. I don't see a win in any of those. So, I mean, I'm looking at the comments and everyone's saying, everyone's saying that they're going to go 10-6 and 8-8, which is very bullish, and that'd be a massive leap in their coaching staff stuff. And one of the takeaways I had from the preseason game they played last night was that you could see their offense with Chase Daniel at the helm. We could see their offense looking like the Chiefs when Alex Smith was at the helm before they started taking chances down the field. The dink and dunking, quick action like that. And there's a lot of playmakers on this team. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller. They signed Trey Burton. They still have Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. So I think I could be one of the few people that's really low on them in that thing. But maybe it's because I'm just slightly low on Mitchell Trubisky. There's been reports that he hasn't been playing well in camp. But that's camp though, so we don't know. That some of those things could just be people blown. I don't know. It's just a weird thing. But I'm not high on. I need to see Trubisky do more. He's still learning Matt Nagy's scheme. The offense is built for him. The offense will be tailored to his skills. He's great in the mediocre, middle, across the field. He's more athletic than he gives credit to. But I don't know. I'm just not sold on Mitch. Or Mitchell, as he wants to be called. I think their schedule, I know that defense has improved. Roquan Smith hasn't reported yet, but you look at Vic Fangio's boys on that side. He's one of the top defense coaches. Trevathan, Leonard Floyd. I mean, there's some talent on defense, but I just think this team is still a year away from making a real push. And that 6.5, is it 6.5? That 6.5 win threshold is going to be two wins improvement from last year. Is Matt Nagy worth that? Yeah, probably. But every team in that division is improved, and you're still counting on a quarterback who has proved nothing. Nothing. And yes, Jared Goff. We love to look at the Rams jump from last year, and the biggest thing about the Rams jump from last year was Todd Gurley being unleashed. And Todd Gurley just should have won the MVP trophy, honestly, if we're looking at, I mean, Brady won, but there was a strong, strong case for Gurley to be made that he deserved it. And Jordan Howard's a solid running back, back-to-back 1,000-yard years. He's making some plays out of the backfield. Tariq Cohen's lining up everywhere, but there's no Todd Gurley on this team. Sammy Watkins, in my opinion, is better than Allen Robinson. Cooper Kupp is a better route runner. Cooper Kupp, Anthony Miller seem very similar. Taylor Gabriel, Robert Woods, very similar. But they don't have the coach. I mean, the strong comparison is them to be the Rams, but the biggest thing about the Rams was Todd Gurley. And Todd Gurley took so much attention and focus off of Jared Goff, and the game was so easy for Jared Goff. And Trubisky's going to have to do a lot more things I don't know if he's going to have the same help that McVay gave to Goff. So I don't know. Those are the three teams I'm under on. I feel like the Bills and Raiders are more locks. And I was looking at around the NFL, looking around the win total and stuff like that. And the one that really stood out to me was the Bears. I think you look in terms of finding a team that's going to underperform. I think look at the division. And I think stronger divisions are going to be like that because, I mean, Vikings and Packers are two of the top three or four favorites in the NFC. And then I think the Lions actually are going to sneak up and win that division. And they have a great defensive coach leading their team. And they have talent on that side. They have Matt Stafford, who I think is going to be really good. I mean, there's just a lot of... I just have a weird feeling about the Lions. I just think that those three teams are going to take care of business against the Bears. Not saying the Bears aren't going to compete in all these games, but it's just something to watch out for. So we'll leave those three in the rear view, and we'll move on to the three teams that I think are going to outperform their win total. And we're going to start with a team that people are picking to be really bad and finish probably at the cellar of their division. With if you and I mean, it kind of makes sense if you look at who's in their division and stuff like that. But looking at last year's record, and I know you're not supposed to do that, but last year the Arizona Cardinals went 2017 record. Arizona Cardinals went 8-8 last year, largely with the same pieces to their defense out. And with Drew Stanton and Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. And without David Johnson. Now, they have two quarterbacks they can choose from that are massive upgrades. Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen. Either one of them are a lot better than the previous two successors. Then you add into the fact that David Johnson, one of the three or four best running backs in the NFL, is hopefully not going to get injured in the first game of the season. You take him into the equation. Mike Iupati, one of the best left guards in football, he probably won't get injured. They made some veteran signings to this offensive line, which is one of the worst in football last year. Larry Fitzgerald's still there. They brought in online favorite Christ Butler from the Dallas Cowboys, who was underutilized his whole time he was there. Christian Kirk, an explosive playmaker from Texas A&M. The offense is already taking a massive step forward. And the key cogs in their defense are all still there. Patrick Peterson, Chandler Jones, Deion Buchanan. These are all Baker Buddha. These are all players that are cornerstones to their defense. Some of the best at that position. And you're counting on a player I picked to be Rookie of the Year last year, Hassan Reddick, to take a step forward. It's just, there's just so much talent on this team, and they have a smart offensive coordinator in Mike McCoy. Hopefully he opens up the playbook a little more. New head coach Steve Wilkes from Carolina. We'll see what defense he brings in. Apparently Patrick Peterson's not going to shadow. We'll see how true that holds up. But even if you do leave him on one side of the field, you're not going to want to throw on that one side of the field. And you have one of the best, you have arguably top three defensive linemen in Chandler Jones, who looks great in preseason. You should look at that video of him destroying a lineman dummy. It is very, very impressive. And I haven't even mentioned the win total to you, and I feel like I've done a pretty good job of selling their chances of improving. Their win total is 5.5. Once again, 5.5 wins. Their schedule is tough. Their schedule's tough, but I'm looking at it. They play the Washington Redskins at home. Opening week could be a win. Pretty simple. At the Rams, tough game. Host the Bears, extremely winnable. Host the Seahawks, always play the Seahawks tough, very winnable. Travel to the 49ers. I don't know. Everyone's high on Jimmy G. We'll see. That's a tough game. The next one, they travel to the Vikings. Very tough. Host the Broncos on a short week. Those short weeks are always tough for the road team. You know, it's a quick road trip. Could be very winnable. Then they play the 49ers again at home. That's very winnable. So out of the first eight games, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's already five very winnable games. Five very winnable games. Which means they just got to win one in the back end. At the Chiefs after their bye week, very important. After their bye week, host the Raiders, very winnable. At the Chargers, at the Packers, those are tough. Host the Lions, we'll see how that's indoors. That could be a tough game. At Atlanta, host the Rams, at Seattle. So, yes, they're going to have to make some noise in their front end of their schedule, but once they're front end of the schedule, six of their first 10 games are extremely winnable. And that's being very, very polite about the whole situation. That's being very not even pessimistic about the situation. That's not including the road games at the, that's not including a road game at the 49ers or at the Rams, who are, or are division rivals, and both very simple. Not simple, but you know what to expect from them. And the Rams are playing on a short week in that week two bout. These are all just, I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but you look at the facts that they have improved quarterback play. Bruce Arians is not there anymore. He's one of the top coaches in football. So that's going to be something they lose. But even if they play, spill my water on me. Even if they play Josh Rosen right from the get-go, or Bradford is playing great and gets hurt, and they're forced to play Rosen, Rosen's probably the most pro-ready quarterback of all the, of his rookie class. He won't be overwhelmed. So the talent, I mean, David Johnson's worth a win or two alone. He was going crazy in the first year. That's going to take pressure off of Larry Fitzgerald. That's going to turn so much attention to him on one side of the ball. That's going to open up these passing lanes. Rosen's phenomenal off play action. He has deep threat in Kirk. He has an inner deep threat in Bryce Butler, who can go up and make a play. Larry Fitzgerald is one of the top 10, 15 receivers in the NFL, being polite, being on the pessimistic side, 15. He had 100-plus catches last year. So why can't this team duplicate, at least come close to duplicating last year's 8 wins? No, I'm not going to do these in order, but that's really, really, that's a really nice bet to go on for the Cardinals. I'm not saying they're, like I said, they could finish last in this division, but looking at last year, the 49ers finished last in this division with 6 wins. So we'll see. And that Cardinals love playing that home field. You know, we'll see. That's all I'm saying. I love that. I don't love the team. I like the team a lot, and I like this team to get above that 5.5 win threshold. So, move on to number 2. And the last two are from the same division. And this is my highest of the 3 in terms of win totals, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. And I talked about them not in great detail last week, but I talked about them last week. And I think the Ravens are going to win the AFC North. I think that, how many games did they win last year? Let me double check. Type in a record. Come on. They won 9-7 last year, almost 10-6 if they did not give up a fluke 4th-and-16 conversion to the Bengals and missed the playoffs. So you're looking at a 10-6 team with a weak Joe Flacco, no offensive weapons, no Marshall Yanda, a terrible offensive line around him, and they went 9-7. There's two things that we know about Baltimore every single year, no matter what. A, that defense is going to hit you in the mouth, and it's going to be great. And they are going to defend their home field. So, 8 wins. They went 5-3 last year at home, 4-4 on the road. So the Ravens that we know and Joe Flacco, underwhelming, yes. But look at their, we talked about the Ravens a little bit earlier. I didn't really dive deep into their team per se and their outlook on this season outside of Lamar should rest. But looking at this schedule, we had to come out with 9 wins. Buffalo Bills at home win at the Bengals on a short week. We don't know how the Bengals are going to be this year. I'm not so sure. I trust the Ravens a lot more on a short week than I trust the Bengals on a short week. So that's easily 2-0. Host Denver on a long week, 3-0. Then you get into some divisional games at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland. Maybe win one of them, even lose both of them. That's still 3-2. At Tennessee, I think they can win one of that to get to 4-2. One of those 3 games, 4-2. Host the Saints. That's a tough. Saints are going to be great. That is a tough place to play. I am defending their home. I'm giving them at least 5. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'll give them at least 5 wins at home between the Bills, Broncos, Saints, Steelers, Bengals, Raiders, Bucks, Browns. All right. So Bills win, Broncos win, Saints lose. We'll go Steelers win because they usually split. 3. Bengals win, 4. Raiders, 5. I don't think the Raiders are going to travel across the country and win a tough road game in November in Baltimore, 5. Bucks, 6. Browns, 7. I could see them winning 6-7 of these games. That means they only have to win 1 or 2 of the road games between at Bengals, Steelers, Browns, Titans, Panthers, Falcons, Chiefs, Chargers. Those are really tough. That's a really tough road slate. But with this defense, and that with the defense that's still there, with Terrell Suggs, with Brandon Williams, one of the best nose tackles, Brent Urban, one of the best, one of the a great edge player. You have C.J. Mosley, one of the best linebackers. You have Brandon Carr. Jimmy Smith needs to improve. Their secondary needs to improve at the corner position. But you have Tony Jefferson and Eric Weddle, one of the best safety tandems in the NFL. And you know they're going to be coached up. They're always coached great. You know they're their special teams is always one of the top 3 in the league with Justin Tucker and Jim Harbaugh. It's a John Harbaugh, the better Harbaugh coach, being a special teams based coach and running them in making them as close to perfection on special teams as possible. And then you look at the offense. Their offensive line is going to be healthier, hopefully. If Marshall Yannick comes back, he's the best guard in football. They have improved receivers corps. Michael Crabtree, John Brown from Arizona is apparently lighting it up in terms of getting in at camp. And he's a deep threat. And if there's one thing that Joe Flacco loves more than anything, is he loves taking a 5-step drop and unleashing a 60-yard bomb and having one of his speedy receivers go underneath it. Torrey Smith, Mike Wallace, even, what's his name, Jacoby Jones did all this. It's what he's most comfortable with throughout his whole career. And you had Willie Snead, Michael Crabtree work in the middle of the field. That's pretty dang good. That's pretty good receiver core. And they drafted 2 tight ends. Hayden Hurst in the first round, a 25-year-old who looked great in the Hall of Fame game. And then you have Mark Andrews, who's Noah loved coming out of Oklahoma. He was the best tight end in college football last year. So the offense is improved. The offensive line is improved. And this is Joe Flacco's healthiest year he's been in since his Super Bowl years. A lot of mumble right there. This is the healthiest Joe Flacco's been coming into a season since he won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl winning team, but this is a good to great team with plenty of room for an improvement from a team that went 9-7 last year, a team that still doesn't have a murderer's row schedule, and that just knows how to win. So I don't know I feel like we're underrating the Ravens too much. And even though Joe Flacco has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in recent years, he's still a Super Bowl champion and deserves the benefit of the doubt because he's led his team to the playoffs more often than not. He's had him around 8-8, 9-7 throughout his career. And that a lot of that falls on his defense. But if all the reports are true, then we should expect Joe Flacco's best year because he has a solid set of weaponry, a strong offensive line, and a running back and diverse running game, and Alex Collins, Buck Allen, Kenneth Dixon, if he can stay healthy, that can make plays. So it's going to come down to him. You know, we talk about Joe ducking the ball down a lot to his tight end or running back and stuff like that, but he's not the most mobile guy, so we expect that from him that's stuff that we expect from him. But the other thing is, he hasn't really had, like, I keep going back to this, he hasn't had great receivers. There's been a couple years he's had some solid receivers, and he's done well. He's been a pretty solid fantasy quarterback sometimes. And I know this isn't fantasy football, but it's just, you know, just give him the benefit of the doubt. I think the Ravens will get to 10 wins. I think they win this division. I think they win a playoff game, given their home field advantage, and then anything can happen. We've seen Joe Flacco go into Denver and win a tough playoff game when they had Peyton Manning. We've seen him go into New England and out-duel Tom Brady multiple times. And he's a Super Bowl MVP. That's years ago, but it's in there. And if not, and the worst thing is if I'm completely wrong, then I'm going to see Lamar Jackson. So there are worse. This is one that I don't mind if I'm wrong at. And then to finish it off, finish off my teams I'm expecting to be over is the Cleveland Browns. And they've kind of been one of, not the, I don't want to say they've been the talk of the offseason, but this is the best Browns team that's been built in recent years. You know, Sashi Brown, the analytics-driven front office, did a great job of getting picks and quote-unquote tanking. That one for, I mean, they traded Deshaun Watson last year, but that netted them the fourth pick to allow them to get a cornerback in Denzel Ward that they really like. He's going to be a plug-and-play starter from the get-go. Talented, tall, fast, is everything you want from a cover corner. And then they got Baker Mayfield, who may not even see the field this year. But their over-under is set at 5.5 wins. And I'm going to look at the roster in a second, but I'm going to look at their schedule first. Pittsburgh at home, very winnable game. They only lost by a field goal last year. And that was with Deshaun Kizer, and that wasn't with this talent. That wasn't with Todd Haley. That was with Hugh Jackson calling the plays. Now they have Todd Haley, one of the smartest offensive coaches in football, coming right from Pittsburgh. That weakens. And it's funny because, you know, sometimes addition by subtraction, you take them off Pittsburgh, and now Pittsburgh's first game of the season, they have, you know, there could be a little bit of, you know, Le'Veon Bell's not going to be playing in the preseason, so he could take a game or two to get going. Then you factor in the new offensive coordinator, so him and Big Ben may not be on the same page a lot of the times. So that's a steal. That's a very winnable game one. At Saints, that's tough. Week two, that's tough. Jets, winnable game one, very winnable game on a short week. 1-2 at Oakland, I could see them winning 1-3. Well, we'll give it a nod. 1-3. Baltimore, 2-3, 2-4. Hosting Chargers, it's a cross-country trip. Chargers don't really play well on the road a lot. You never know who's going to be injured on that team. 2-5, 3-4. At the Bucs, we don't know how they're going to look. They could be going through a new head coach. That's a tough game. Steelers, you know, I'm looking, going through their schedule, and it's pretty tough. But I can see them getting 6 wins. I saw Tyrod Taylor last year with a lesser-talented Buffalo team offensively guide them to a playoff berth and win 9 games. Their defense, the Bills and Browns defenses, they're evenly talented, but we're going to get a full season, hopefully, a full training camp, a full season of the number one pick from last year, from 2017, in Myles Garrett, who in his short time last year was a monster. You have Emmanuel Ogba on the other side, another young defensive pass rusher. He's taking strides. He's improving. You found in the middle, Larry Ogunjobi, hopefully I didn't pronounce that name wrong. He was one of the most under-heralded rookies last year playing in the interior. He's back. Jamie Collins, one of the best pass rushers in football. You have Christian Kirksey and Joe Schobert, two very solid veteran linebackers. And then in your back end, E.J. Gaines and Travis Carey. E.J. Gaines was pretty good in Buffalo last year. Travis Carey, you know, Oakland's tough to gauge how well that defense played as a whole. And then you have Jabril Peppers, who played out of position with Greg Williams last year. So a lot of that is going to come down to where he's positioned on the field. Is he going to be playing 30 yards back? I think Greg Williams took a lot of slack, and he's going to adapt and play Jabril Peppers where he's most comfortable, which is everywhere on the field. He lined up at linebacker at Michigan. He can tackle well. He can cover. So I see him playing everywhere. And they have a very strong veteran in the back in Demarius Randle coming over from Green Bay in a trade, who has gotten rave reviews in camp so far. And having a veteran safety like that can make a world of difference, especially to a team of this youth. And I think this defense is going to take a step forward. And we haven't even got to the offense yet, who, yes, they lose Joe Thomas. And Joel Batonio, who's usually a right tackle, has been he's not struggling, but he has been hesitant about moving over to the left side and playing left tackle. They brought in Greg Robinson, one of the biggest busts in football in recent memory. We'll see if he can make things. They're talking about bringing in a veteran left tackle too, so Batonio can go back to the right side. But they have a strong offensive line in Kevin Zeitler, J.C. Treader, Austin Corbett, who they drafted, who's going to be a plug and play. He's number one on their depth chart right now. So their offensive line is going to be good. The tight end position, Darren Fells is at the top. He's a free agent. But they have David Njoku from Miami, who looks like a brick house, who can fly, who has, he's just, is he's too talented to not be involved in the pass game, to not be a major player in this offense. They brought in Jarvis Landry, who could be limited, but he is one of the best slot receivers in football. Corey Coleman, another thing. I know it's just training camp, and I'm taking a lot of stock into playing against your own defenses, which could be looked at like, you know, hey, he's dominating our bad secondary, but he's going to be getting some plays. Jeff Janis, who I think was underutilized in Green Bay, he's a starting left wide receiver right now for Cleveland. Rashad Higgins, he's a solid route runner. And then someone who's not listed, Josh Gordon, who hopefully this is just a break to get away from Hard Knocks and he comes back for the regular season because he was a monster. He looked like he hasn't lost a beat in the offseason when he came back last year from his drug rehab and stuff like that, getting his life together. And in the offseason, there were some training videos coming out of him, and he looks phenomenal. He looks great. And he's one of the best receivers in football when he's healthy. And then another player, he's on the line, but Antonio Callaway from Florida, he had some off-the-field issues. He's apparently looks like a veteran coming right in, and he's a playmaker with the ball in his hands. He was Florida's most explosive player, and when he was not on the field, you could see how big of an impact he made, how big of an impact and hole that left that offensive, that the Gators' offense in terms of playmaking getting to the next level. And that's not even talking about Tyrod. We haven't even got to the running back and the backfield positions. You know, Dan Vitale, fullback, he'll make some plays, but they have arguably the best three-headed monster at running back in football with Carlos Hyde coming over from San Francisco. They drafted Nick Chubb in the second round, and they have Duke Johnson, one of the best receiving backs in football. With Tyrod Taylor, a very strong quarterback, understands how to play football in terms of making the right decision, knowing when to throw the ball out of bounds, not turning the ball over, can make plays with his feet, can throw the deep ball exceptionally, or you don't even have to play Baker Mayfield. He can sit back and understand. And they're Baker and Tyrod have been running an RV. And this team has a 3-year plan. This is year one of the 3-year plan. John Dorsey talked about that in an article on TheRinger.com, written by Kevin Clark. But I think they can exceed that 3-year plan this year. They're in a tough division, but they're arguably just as talented as the Bengals. And yes, they have one. They're 1-33. How's my math doing right now? 1-31 in their last two games under last two seasons under Hugh Jackson. But this is the best team that's been in Cleveland in a couple years in terms of talent. Jarvis Landry's a little over the top when he says that, you know, when all of our talent's clicking, I think Josh Gordon is included in this sentiment as well. When we get all of our talent clicking, we're going to hang 40 on people, and there's no reason this team can't go to the Super Bowl. Those are lofty expectations and probably be the greatest turnaround in the history of sports, going from 1-15, 0-16 to, I don't know, 10-6, 11-5, and a Super Bowl title. But can they win 6 games? Absolutely. You have a quarterback who's won how many games? Let me look it up. Buffalo Bills record 2016. So 9 plus 7. 9 plus 7, that's 15 games. He's won 15 games the past 2 years with maybe he had Sammy Watkins, but Sammy Watkins was not healthy that year he was there. The last year he was there with Buffalo, I should say. So it's just, why not the Browns? Why can't they be a team that takes a giant step forward? And giant step forward for them is 6 games. They have winners on this team. Tyrod Taylor, Carlos Hyde's a hard runner. He's extremely talented. Go look at his tape from San Francisco. He's making plays. He's running hard. He's evading tacklers. He's playing through pain, stuff like that. Nick Chubb's a proven winner, overcame a bunch of adversity in college to get to where he's at today. Jarvis Landry has easily been the best offensive player on the Dolphins the past couple years. And there's been people saying breakout, Devontae Parker, all these people, but the best players year in, year out, been Jarvis Landry. And he's upped his touchdown rate. It's due for regression this year. But there's just so many options that Todd Haley can throw out in the field. He can go 2 back with Hyde and Chubb, with Duke Johnson split out, with Landry, with Njoku. There's so many options. And that's what excites me about football teams. And that's what excites me about the Browns, is that they can deploy pretty much any personnel on offense three backs, two backs, no backs, one back, through five wide receivers, two tight ends, anything, and they can run or pass from all that. Tyrod's going to be in the shotgun. Chubb and Hyde and Duke, they're all going to be involved in the passing game and the run game. This is going to be a very balanced, well-spread offense. Landry will probably lead the team in receptions and targets. There's a guarantee to do that. But that's what he does because he can make plays after the catch. He has very reliable hands. He's always open in the underneath. And they're talking about getting him involved in the deep passing game. So that's one thing I really love about the Browns moving forward. The defense, I mean, if you watch Myles Garrett tape from the small sample size last year, he is explosive. He is powerful. He is fast. He can stop the run, stop the pass. This is a fun team. I really am going to enjoy watching this football team. The NFC North is a division I'm going to love watching as a whole because there's so many dynamics about it. Besides the Steelers being pecked for the team that can beat everyone. I mean, I always undersell the Steelers because they underwhelm in the postseason, but the Browns are going to be fun. They're going to be a tough out. And if they get that O-line fixed, and if Josh Gordon comes back, and if they can sign, even if they sign Dez Bryant, that's a red zone threat from the wide receiver position on the outside that they don't have. And Njoku can do it. He's young. Landry had a lot of, I think, 8 red zone touchdowns last year, but that's with gadget plays, running him in the backfield, a little slot action and stuff like that. They get Dez Bryant or Josh Gordon, that completes that they have a go get it up, throw the ball up, and go make a play. And I'm counting on a lot of these players to take a step. I'm not even counting on a lot of these players to take a step forward. Corey Coleman, Jeff Janis, that's in the O-line. That's kind of it on the offense to take their next step. But besides that, everyone's pretty solid. You know what they're going to get. There's a lot of stability in the Browns. John Dorsey has done a great job of bringing in talent, smart talent, bringing in coaches that understand, that have experience in this sport, experience running a winning operation outside of Hugh Jackson, which is funny to say. But I don't know. There's room to be optimism for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm one of those people who would take that bet. And then looking at the rest of these, you know, those are my main three. But I'm just going to scroll through these and look at someone I like. The Eagles, 10.5. Probably take the under on that. Falcons, 9. I feel like that's right at the Bucks, 6.5. I feel like that's going to go 7. Giants, 7. That's probably a split. Dolphins could go over that because they always find a way to scrape out 7-8 wins. Colts, 6.5. If Luck plays all 16 games, that's well over. 49ers, 8.5. I'm taking the under. I think that Jimmy G had 11 touchdowns and 6 picks in his 6 career starts. I think that we're just a little overhyping that. I think a lot of those wins last year were against teams that were well beyond their season was over, and they tanked. I mean, they beat the Jags and stuff, but that, I mean, we'll see. They have a lot of talent. Saints, 9.5. That could go over. Texans, 8.5. Tough division. Is Deshaun really that great? We'll see. Bengals, 6.5. Tough. Titans, 8. I think that's a split. I think that's their base. It's the lowest they'll go. Patriots, 11. I'll take the over. Well, just because they get 12 wins. Vikings, 10. I think that's slightly too high. I talked last week about how I think the Lions, I think the Vikings, I don't know. Kirk Cousins just drives me the wrong way. Jaguars, they take a step forward. 9 wins is too low for me. Buffalo, talked about them. Baltimore, talked about them. Chargers, 9.5. I'll take the slight under because you just can't trust them. You can't trust they're going to stay healthy. You can't trust them in the kicking game. You can't trust their coaching staff is going to manage the game properly. Chiefs, 8.5. I think that's 8-9 wins. That's a perfect spread. Cowboys, 8.5. I think that's under. Dak, Zeke, and that O-line are going to be phenomenal. Phenomenal, but are they going to get enough? Are they going to be too one-dimensional to make a real difference and make a push in that division? Redskins, 7. Take the over. Schedule is difficult. I believe in Alex Smith. I believe in Darius Geis. I believe in that offense as a complete whole. Seahawks, 8. I'm still taking them over to get to 9. They finished 9 wins last year, and they were atrocious. Their O-line's better. They have their full staple of running backs back. They've lost Jimmy Graham. They lost Luke Wilson. But we'll see. Doug Baldwin, that knee injury is kind of worrisome, but we'll see if that carries over. If they get Earl Thomas back in camp, that defense is still going to be strong with Earl Thomas and Bobby Wagner. Their secondary is not going to be as ripe. I like that team. Broncos, 7. I think that's slide over. Panthers, 9. I'll take the over. All day. I think the Panthers are one of my three teams that come out of the NFC. 100%. We'll dive into that later as we get closer to the season. All right, talk about the Bears. Packers, 10. I think that's spot on. Lions, 7.5. Take the over big time. They won 9 games last year. They improve. They get completely new. They get a completely new defensive staff, and it's a massive upgrade. And they have another year of Kenny Galladay. They have two new running backs that are going to take most of the carries that are going to be great, and Karen Johnson and LeGarrette Blount. That's take that over. I should have added that to the over, but I bloviated about the Lions playing enough. Jets, 6. They weren't too bad last year, and I like their talent. Rams, 10. That's perfect. And I already talked about the Raiders. So it's here. The NFL season's officially started. We have, from now until the Super Bowl, we have football every single weekend. NFL carries us to Labor Day weekend for college, and then college and NFL Saturday and Sunday. Plenty to talk about. This wasn't as difficult to get through as the other pods. There'll always be something to talk about, so strap in, folks. We have a long, long time of football to talk about. And then the NBA picks up. Soccer picks up next week, Premier League. That's going to be something I'm excited about. I'll try to get 10, 15 minutes per episode to just dedicate to soccer and just update people and just talk about it. Just mostly me just ranting about my Liverpool team and how they're doing and stuff like that. So thanks for checking in, guys, and I'll see you guys next week.